Hello, I'm Richard McLean-Smith, the creator of Unexplained, and I'm extremely excited to finally be able to announce the upcoming publication of my book for the US and Canada, featuring 10 new real-life events from around the world that continue to evade explanation. Each chapter goes deeper than I have on the podcast into not just the story itself, but the science, theory, and philosophy we can learn from it. What can an apparent demonic possession teach us about free will? What can the case of a poltergeist tell us about the human need to tell stories? And what can a haunted box tell us about how we construct reality? Publishing on October 1st, 2019, you can pre-order your copy of Unexplained from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and IndieBound. And keep an eye out on my website, Twitter, and Facebook feeds for more exciting announcements. It had been a relatively quiet day down at the Latimer County Sheriff's Office when the call came in on that unforgettable Saturday of October 17th, 2009. A group of deer hunters making their way down Oklahoma's Panola Mountain in the Sands Boys Mountain Range had spotted a white pickup truck parked by the side of the road, which hadn't moved all day. Since the area was popular with hunters, and also close to a number of gas wells that were in need of occasional maintenance, it wasn't unusual to see vehicles parked up there in unlikely locations. But something about this truck just didn't quite fit. Going over to take a closer look, they were surprised to find a small black and white dog lying on the back seat that seemed strangely lethargic. It might be nothing, they explained to the sheriff's office, but if the dog was left inside any longer, there was a good chance it could be in serious trouble. Sheriff Israel Beauchamp knew the location well as a particularly dense and rugged tract of local woodland, not the sort of place you might go for a casual hike, for example. But considering a dog had been left on the back seat, there was little to suggest that the truck's owners wouldn't be coming back anytime soon. That was until a second call came through later that afternoon, confirming that in actual fact, the truck hadn't been sat there for a few hours, but rather days. You're listening to Unexplained, and I'm Richard McLean-Smith. It was early evening by the time two patrol cars carrying Sheriff Beauchamp, Under Sheriff Matt Bone, and several other officers from Latimer County Sheriff's Office set off toward Panola Mountain. Making their way north, heading ever deeper into the Samboys Mountains, they soon found the white pickup. Located high into the mountain, roughly a third of the way between the towns of Panola and Kinter. Having pulled up alongside it, the officers stepped out into the fast cooling air and made their way over to the vehicle. With their first concern being for the safety of the dog, they wasted little time in breaking a window to gain access to the truck, only to recoil immediately at the smell coming from inside. Clearly the dog, which they found to be severely malnourished and dehydrated, had been trapped in there for some time. After giving her some water and laying her gently onto the back of a patrol vehicle, the officers proceeded to search the rest of the abandoned truck. Though it wasn't quite heavy jacket weather, they were surprised to see a number of coats and other clothing items scattered about inside. Having found a few kids' toys in the back as well, it was clear this wasn't a maintenance truck, and not likely to be hunters either. Most likely, they thought, given the situation with the dog, the truck had simply been stolen and abandoned out there for whatever reason. Only moments later, officers discovered not only mobile phones and a GPS device left abandoned on the dashboard, but also a wallet and purse had been left inside, both complete with cash and cards untouched. Examining the items, the officers found two sets of identification, one for a 40-year-old Sherilyn Jameson and another for 44-year-old Bobby Jameson, who was assumed to be Sherilyn's husband. Having radioed the information back to base, Sheriff Beauchamp soon learned that the couple were registered owners of an address in Sandy Bass Bay, an area located just to the northeast of the town of Eufaula, just under 50 miles away. However, oddly, it appeared that neither the truck nor the couple had been reported missing in the last few days. Believing now that the Jamesons were likely to have been the last occupants of the truck before it was abandoned, possibly along with a child, Beauchamp ordered a few of the officers to make a cursory search of the area to see if they could find anything. Though that part of the forest was not ideal for an impromptu walk, being especially thick and difficult to navigate, there was no accounting for what people who were unfamiliar with the area might do. Perhaps, he thought, the family had merely wandered off and got lost or injured somehow. Fearing something worse, Beauchamp and Bone also made sure to examine the truck and the ground around it for any sign of a struggle or something to suggest the occupants had been forced out against their will. However, no signs of blood, dents or scratches were found on the truck, and nor did they discover any scuff marks or scraps of clothing on the ground, the usual signifiers of a violent altercation. Officers searching the immediate vicinity also failed to turn up any clues as to the whereabouts of the vehicle's owners. With the sun having all but vanished behind the mountains, there was little more they could do. Sheriff Beauchamp took one last look at the abandoned truck, then into the still, unmoving forest beyond, and ordered the officers back into their cars. The following day, Sunday 18th, having confirmed that the Jamesons were not at home, Bobby Jameson's mother, Starlet, was informed by the sheriff's office that her son's truck had been found abandoned. As the terrible implications of this news sunk in, it was only then that she realised it had been over a month since she last heard from the family. Starlet would go on to confirm that her son and Sherilyn were indeed married, and also had a daughter together named Madison, who just recently celebrated her 6th birthday. Struggling to contain herself, Starlet thought hard about what they might have been doing out there in the woods. Finally, after a long pause, she remembered the couple had talked about buying some land close to the town of Red Oak, a small community of roughly 500 people, located at the southern foot of Panola Mountain. Both Bobby and Sherilyn, from what the police would soon learn, were a somewhat reclusive couple. As such, despite being close to friends and family, they would often go for weeks, even months at a time, without speaking to anyone. For as yet unknown reasons, it seemed that the family had decided to move from their present home in the bright Sandy Bass Bay and set up somewhere far more remote, and ideally, off-grid. The couple had also recently pulled Madison out of school in preparation for the move, which also helped to explain why nobody had reported the family missing. When officers first arrived at the Jamesons' home in Sandy Bass Bay, they discovered a large shipping container sitting on the front lawn. This, it seemed, was going to be their new home, once they had found a plot of land to install it on. Strangely, they also found, scrawled across the container, some unusual graffiti, stating, "Three cats killed to date by people in this area. Witches don't like their black cat killed." Back up the mountain, earlier that morning, officers had returned to the truck to continue their investigation. After conducting a second search of the vehicle, they made an unexpected discovery. A money wallet, stuffed full with $32,000 in cash, was found wedged under a front seat. Soon after, officers had also found a deeply personal 11-page letter written by Sherilyn and directed at Bobby. In it, she expressed her sadness, anger and frustration at all the years that she and her husband had spent fighting, and her worry that what he really wanted was to be alone and away from the family. Realising the abandoned truck was now almost certainly a crime scene, Sheriff Beauchamp ordered it to be taped off immediately, as they set about trying to piece together just who Bobby and Sherilyn Jameson were exactly. It wasn't long after that officers also learnt from Starlet that Sherilyn kept a .22 pistol on her at all times, but no sign of it was found in the truck. Later that day, realising the Jamesons hadn't been seen or heard from for at least a week, the Latimer County Sheriff's Office initiated a major search operation, recruiting local fire and forest services to help find the missing family. Posters were put up in nearby towns, and media appeals launched, asking for people to come forward with any news on the family's possible whereabouts. And before long, a rough outline was beginning to emerge. Having been searching online for a plot of land to move to, the Jamesons had come across the perfect location. A secluded 40-acre spot surrounded by forest, not far from Red Oak and nearby Panola Mountain. After setting out to visit it on October 7th, the family had headed east, making a stop at a gas station in Porham, a town just 15 miles from their home, before continuing on south toward the Sands Boys Mountains. A resident of the mountain region remembered seeing them that day, having stopped to help them with directions. The Jamesons were then thought to have returned home before heading back out the next day with the intention of visiting the plot again. Just as they had done on the 7th, they stopped once more in Porham to get gas before heading into the mountains. And that, as far as investigators knew, was the last time that anybody had seen them alive. There's a minor break in the case when a photograph of Madison is discovered on one of the phones left in the truck. The photo, taken at 2:47 p.m. on October the 8th, showed Madison standing in front of a rock with her arm folded across her chest and a wide, toothless smile on her face. The search team soon discovered the location of the photo, roughly 20 minutes' walk from where the truck was discovered, but there is no other sign of the family to be found. For the next week, the search continued, with hundreds of volunteers joining in, aided by helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft, as well as cadaver and air-scent dogs. For days, they trekked through the thick brush, along steep cliffs and deep, craggy ravines, but all to no avail. And though the volunteers were well-meaning, many struggled with the treacherous terrain, with police often having to take care that they themselves didn't get lost. Meanwhile, as more and more people contacted the police to help them with their inquiries, and investigators looked a little further into the family's history, things were beginning to get a little murky. Sherilyn Jameson, born Sherilyn Duncan, first met Bobby in 2002, and the pair became immediately inseparable. For the 32-year-old Sherilyn, 6 years since an acrimonious divorce, Bobby was a breath of fresh air and the first boyfriend she had trusted since separating from her first husband. Sherilyn also had a son, Colton, from the previous marriage, none of which mattered to Bobby, for whom it was also love at first sight. Before long, the pair were expecting their first child and planning for their perfect future together as a family. In August 2003, daughter Madison was born. A few months later, whilst making his way back from work, Bobby's car was hit by two other vehicles simultaneously. Though Bobby survived the crash, severe damage to his spine left him with chronic back pain, making it impossible for him to work, and forced the family to rely on welfare checks to get by. The couple's spirits were raised, however, when they decided to get married in 2004, before settling down together with baby Madison in a sizeable home in Sandy Bass Bay, a quiet, tranquil spot that backed on to Lake Eufaula. But as the Latimer County Sheriff's Office soon came to realise, what should have marked the beginning of a settled, harmonious life together was soon to be overshadowed by a series of catastrophically destabilising events. With the couple struggling for money and Bobby still unable to work, they took out a second mortgage on their home, increasing their debts significantly. To compensate for the loss of employment, Bobby filed a lawsuit against the three individuals involved in the traffic accident. To make matters worse, however, the case was dismissed the following year, leaving the couple even more out of pocket. As his chronic back pain persisted, Bobby sunk in and out of depression. One afternoon in 2007, Sherilyn received the devastating news that her younger sister Marla had died unexpectedly after suffering a severe allergic reaction to a bee sting. It was as if the whole world were conspiring against them. For Sherilyn especially, who suffered from bipolar depression, life was becoming an ever-steepening, uphill struggle. For both Bobby and Sherilyn, however, solace could always be sought in Madison, and despite even their most turbulent times, they both fought to keep the family together as best they could, for her sake, if not always their own. It was on one morning, a few weeks into the search, that one of the cadaver dog handlers felt a hefty tugging at the leash. Releasing the dog, which had been given items of the family's clothes to smell earlier in the day, the search team struggled to keep up as it made its way toward a large water tower. Having singled out the spot so emphatically, it was clear to investigators that whatever the dog had sensed would be significant. Later that afternoon, detectives watched expectantly as bit by bit all the water was drained from the tower until only a small puddle remained at the bottom of it. But nothing of note was found. A further financial blow came in 2008 when Bob Sr. sold a gas station he owned but refused to split the proceeds with his son. Bobby had spent a great deal of time working there for free on the understanding that he would profit from its eventual sale. The ensuing spat coincided with a complete breakdown in Bobby's parents' marriage. Bob Sr., perhaps provoked by his son's anger, allegedly took to threatening his wife and Bobby's family, even trying at one point to run his son over. In May 2009, afraid of what his father might do, Bobby filed a restraining order against him. The order, which was later dismissed, alleged that Bob Sr. threatened to kill Sherilyn and her son Colton, and also kidnap Madison. Bobby went on to accuse his father of associating with violent gangs and sex workers, while also alleging that he had recently been admitted to hospital with crystal meth in his system and was showing early signs of dementia. However, at the time of the family's disappearance, Bob Sr., who was in progressively poor health, was also living in a nursing home and was promptly struck off as a suspect. What was of interest, however, were the CCTV cameras that had been installed at the Jameson family home for fear of what Bob Sr. might have done. Fortuitously, the cameras had been recording the day the Jamesons left their home for the final time. But if the detectives were hoping the recordings might finally bring some clarity to the investigation, they would be sorely mistaken. The case of the missing Jameson family was about to get even more peculiar. It started innocuously enough, with footage of Sherilyn and Bobby loading various items into the family's white pickup as Madison merrily watches on. But as the footage continued, detectives noticed something a little unusual. Neither Sherilyn or Bobby were engaging with each other at all. Not only that, but they were loading and unloading the same bags in and out of the truck as they made roughly 20 trips back and forth from the house. A psychologist called in to analyze the footage speculated that the couple were under the influence of some kind of drug. And finally, it all seemed to make sense. Why else would they have had $32,000 of cash in the truck? Drawing lines between Bob Sr.'s apparent use of crystal meth and Bobby's talk of violent gangs, detectives began to wonder if whatever had taken place might have had something to do with a drug deal gone wrong. However, when the FBI searched the family's property, they found nothing to suggest any involvement with this line of inquiry, and nor was anything found in the truck connected to it either. In the midst of Bobby's violent spat with his father, to make matters even worse, Cheryl Lynn lost custody of her son, Colton. The subsequent emotional fallout, combined with her struggles with bipolar depression, came to an inescapable head when in early September, a month before the family disappeared, Cheryl Lynn attempted unsuccessfully to take her own life. In the wake of Cheryl Lynn's desperate act, it appeared she and Bobby made plans to take her survival as an opportunity to wipe their slate clean and attempt to start again on their own terms. It was around the same time that Bobby was awarded $32,000 for his share of the gas station sale money after filing a claim against his father. Many believe it was in fact this cash and not drug money that was found in the Jamesons' truck. With the freedom this money had afforded, the family began preparing for a life off-grid, swatting up on what skills and materials they would need, buying books and resources to homeschool Madison, and looking for available plots of land. When Madison lost her two front teeth in a school playground accident soon after, it felt like a vindication of their plans. By October 24th, more than 2 weeks since the family had last been seen, there remained no sign of them, and with the arrival of the hunting season, the search was suspended. As police stepped up their efforts to look for more clues, another intriguing lead came to light, involving a temporary lodger that the family had taken in June. The man, named Kenneth, had been moved in to help pay some bills and carry out various maintenance tasks that Bobby couldn't do on account of his back. It was a few months later, with Bobby out of the house, that Cheryl Lynn was sat watching TV on the sofa when Kenneth came over to sit with her. When Cheryl Lynn asked him what he wanted, he proceeded to explain in no uncertain terms that he was a white supremacist, and the thought of her Native American heritage made him sick to his stomach. Horrified, Cheryl Lynn jumped straight from the sofa, grabbed her .22 pistol, and chased Kenneth out of the house with it, firing two shots into the ground as he fled. Police followed this inquiry up too, wondering perhaps if the racist Kenneth had sought some kind of retribution with the family. However, soon after, he too was struck off as a suspect. With one lead after another coming to a dead end, just when things couldn't have got any more convoluted, the Latimer County Sheriff's Office were contacted by the Jamison family's pastor, Gary Brandon. Brandon, who thought fondly of the family, especially Madeline, had known the Jamesons for a number of years and often offered his time and counsel whenever they needed it. Nothing could have prepared him, however, for what Bobby came to see him about one morning shortly before he disappeared. It had started, apparently, sometime earlier in the year, when Cheryl Lynn found Madison talking to someone in their house when there wasn't anybody else there. When Cheryl Lynn asked who she was speaking to, Madison replied simply, it was her friend, Emily. Soon after, both Bobby and Cheryl Lynn claimed to have witnessed apparitions moving about their home, often seeing them standing on the roof of the house. Bobby had wanted to know if the preacher knew of any special bullets that could be used to get rid of the terrifying spirits. Not quite knowing what to make of it all, these revelations became just the latest in this mind-bending case for investigators that only seemed to get more complex the deeper they scratched below the surface. As Latimer County Sheriff Beauchamp later exclaimed, "Normally you go through an investigation and one by one start to eliminate certain scenarios. But with this family, everything seemed possible." what was needed more than anything to piece it all together, if the family were indeed dead, as many suspected, was a body. But as weeks turned into months, with absolutely nothing to show for it, the search was eventually called off. Though the investigation remained open, as one suspect after another was dismissed, the peculiar case of the missing Jameson family slipped inevitably from the list of priorities. It was early in November 2013 when Shari and Tim Graham from Quinton in Oklahoma set out towards an area on the north side of Panola Mountain known as Smokestack Hollow. The idyllic spot had become a favourite hunting ground for the pair ever since their first experience there back in 2000. Just as they had done for every opening weekend of the past 13 years, the couple, this time with their young nephew in tow, arrived early at their favourite camping spot and promptly set up camp. With a light rain beginning to fall, the family kitted up and headed out for their first session of the day. A few hours later, with the rain continuing to fall, the family had yet to spot anything. Just as they were about to turn back, however, a sudden pause in the rain was followed by a break in the cloud and the appearance of a single ray of light shining through the canopy onto a spot of grass just a few yards ahead of them. Gazing on in wonder at the natural marvel in front of him, Tim was instantly drawn to the spot where the sunbeam was hitting the ground, through which something appeared to be glinting in the light. Tim moved closer to investigate and kicked at it with his foot. Drawing back in horror, he looked on aghast as the hard white thing rolled over to reveal two large eye sockets. It was unmistakably a human skull. Shari rushed over to help, tripping over something else in the ground that soon revealed itself to be a femur bone attached to an entire human skeleton. Then Tim spotted another one next to it. It was late in the evening before officers from Latimer County Sheriff's Office made it to the scene. The bones, three skeletons in total, two adults and one child, had been found about 75 yards from a dirt track and 2.5 miles from where the Jamesons' abandoned pickup had first been spotted. Though it would be a further 8 months before it was officially confirmed, the bodies of 6-year-old Madison, 40-year-old Cheryl Lynn, and 44-year-old Bobby Jameson had finally been discovered. But in a case that had confounded from day one that the discovery of the bones might mark the beginning of the end for the investigation, it was anything but. Excruciatingly, forensics were unable to determine the cause of death for any of them. A small hole found in Bobby's skull, suggesting a bullet wound, was considered equally likely to have been caused by a forest animal some time after his death. Certainly, no gun, bullets, or any other possible murder weapons, including Cheryl Lynn's .22 pistol, were found near the scene. The case remains unsolved. If you enjoy listening to Unexplained and would like to help support us, you can now go to unexplainedpodcast.com/support. All donations, no matter how large or small, are massively appreciated. All elements of Unexplained are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplained.